sir, you too.
Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, and the 11 went unto the mountain in Galilee where Jesus had appointed them. It is written, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed unto yonder place. It is written, and the mountain was full of horses of fire and chariots of fire. It is written, from the top of Mount Pisgah, Moses was able to see the promised land. It is written, give me this mountain. Spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men, that they may search out the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many. From Greenland's icy mountains, from India's coral strand, where Afric's sunny fountains roll down their golden sand, what though the spicy breezes blow soft o'er every isle, though every prospect pleases, and only man is vile. Shall we, whose souls are lighted with wisdom from on high, shall we to men be knighted, the lamp of life deny? Blow, blow, ye winds, his story, and you, ye waters, roll, till like a sea of glory, it spreads from pole to pole. And now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message. Give me this mountain. 12 spies were sent out in Numbers 13 and 14 on a fact-finding tour of the Promised Land. Now listen to what Moses told his spies. He said, go and spy out the land of promise, the land that flows with milk and honey. Notice the cities. Are they walled? Do they live in tents or strongholds? Is the land fat or lean? How about the wooded areas? Be sure to bring back some of the fruit of the land. When they returned from the aforesaid fact-minding tour, they went in before Moses and gave their report. Their report sounded good as far as it went. They said, "It truly was a land that flows with milk and honey. It was a nice place to visit, and we believe it would be a nice place to live. However, there's one catch to it. There are giants in the land, and we could never take it away from them." Now, we can understand their fear of giants. As far as I know, every giant mentioned in the Bible was an enemy of God and his people. The most famous giant was Goliath, who was slain by David. All this talk about giants scared the people. But Caleb and Joshua told them the giants would be no problem. 10 of the spies voted not to go because they had a grasshopper mentality. The 10 spies said, "We were grasshoppers in their sight." They were wrong and right in that statement. It is true they were grasshoppers, but not so much before the natives of the Promised Land as they were grasshoppers in faith. Caleb and Joshua were giants in faith. The 10 were grasshoppers in faith. When the score was tallied, it was found that the 10 won the day. The score was 10-2 against marching into Canaan, and the whole campaign was aborted because of their lack of faith. Because of their lack of faith, the Israelites had to wander 40 years in the wilderness. 1 year for every day the spies sent spying out the land. The people listened to the majority report. That is one of the great curses in the church today, the majority report. The reason for Caleb living as long as he did was in the words that he said, "The Lord hath kept me alive unto this day." Whatever else Caleb did to keep alive, such as taking vitamins, jogging, lifting weights, seeing his dentist twice a year, getting a yearly physical examination by his doctor, he knew that the real reason for living as long as he did was because of his primary physician. It was the great physician that kept him alive. God had promised Caleb that he would inherit the land of promise. In Numbers 14, the Lord said, "Him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it." Caleb remembered that promise for 45 years. He remembered those giants for 45 years. He never forgot the promise of his inheritance and thought about it every day for 45 years. And now after 45 years, he reminds Joshua that the Lord has kept him alive for 45 years. "Now therefore, give me this mountain." Caleb, who was 40 years old at the time they were sent to spy out the land, seems to take the lead in advising the battle to begin. Caleb's disdain for giants is not to be taken lightly. He said, "Give me this mountain." He could have asked for a more pleasant inheritance, since he was one of the two who brought a good report 45 years earlier. He could have asked for an easier job, considering his advanced years, but instead he requested a mountain that he said was the home of giants. He made no idle boast. When he received that mountain, he drove 3 of the giants out. The church needs to have the Caleb mentality. Why be satisfied to remain in mediocrity? let the cry of Caleb be heard. Give me this mountain. That statement of Caleb is interesting. It is said the Lord kept him alive. That tells us something about the part the Lord plays in the time we are allowed to spend on earth. The Lord is in control. The Lord Jesus told Peter regarding the Apostle John, "If I will, that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." Evidently, Jesus has something to say as to when he calls his servants home. Sometimes, from our standpoint, we may think that certain servants should be spared for at least 100 years, and then in the providence of life, God calls a valuable servant home. That servant is told to lay down the tools of his labor or the weapons of his warfare and come home. We don't understand it. However, as far as we are concerned, we need to continue our labor in the vineyard until it pleases the Lord to call us home. He calls some early and some late. It is enough for us to say, whether young or old, whether at the beginning of service or what we may think is halfway through, the Lord's will be done. After all, at any age, it is the Lord who keeps us alive. But it is good for us at any age to have the Caleb mentality while we serve the Lord here on earth. Let the cry of Caleb resound throughout the brotherhood of the saints. Give me this mountain. Give me the mountain of the Great Commission. According to the Apostle Matthew, the disciples came unto a mountain in Galilee where Jesus had appointed them. He came to them and gave them the Great Commission, the marching orders of the King. All power hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. There is no greater request that the church can make unto God today than that. Lord, give me this mountain of the Great Commission. The statute of limitations has not run out on the Great Commission. It will be a viable document according to the one who gave it until that day when the trumpet sounds to awaken the dead, because he said, even unto the end of the world. The Great Commission is a far greater document than the Declaration of Independence, greater than the Constitution and the Bill of Rights of the United States, greater than the Emancipation Proclamation, because obedience to this document can free mankind from a greater slavery and deliverance from a far greater tyrant than any other in the history of the world. Let the cry be heard in the church today, Lord, give me this mountain. The modern day Caleb can also pray, Lord, give me the mountain of faith. The mountain that the Lord talked about in Matthew 17, when 9 of the apostles who had been given power to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, had failed in an effort to cast one demon from one little boy. They said to Jesus, "Why could not we cast it out?" Jesus told them, "Because of your little faith." Then he said to them, "If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." The mustard seed is a very small seed. Look at it carefully, and you can see its potential of doing great things. Look at a tiny newborn infant and see the potential of that infant doing great things. In the history of the United States, there has been up to this time 43 newborn infants who had the potential to become president of the United States. I saw the statement one time that somebody said, George Washington was born full-grown, in uniform, riding a white stallion, waving the American flag in one hand and a sword in the other. Ladies and gentlemen, I've got news for you. That is only a rumor. Washington was born as an infant, just like everyone else. And only in retrospect do we see the tremendous potential of a baby. Then think about this. Look at the potential for a newborn infant doing great things, and unite that small power with the greater power of God, and the results will be tallied in the words of Paul to the Ephesians. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ever ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus unto all generations, forever and ever. Lord, give me this mountain. Again, the modern day Caleb can pray, Lord, give me the mountain at Dothan, that I may see the invisible. As the young prophet saw in 2 Kings, the 6th chapter, the king of Syria had sent an army to arrest Elisha, the prophet. The army arrived at night, and the next morning a young prophet, seeing the army encamped all around, said to Elisha, Alas, master, what shall we do? Elisha said something to the young prophet and something to God. To the young prophet, Elisha said, They that are for us are more than they who are against us. Then Elisha said to God, O Lord, open his eyes that he may see. The Lord answered the prayer of Elisha, and the young man opened his eyes and saw the mountain full of horses of fire and chariots of fire. The young man was not unlike many today. They can see the physical, but they cannot see the spiritual. In this case, he was granted a moment to see the invisible. The fact that we do not see the invisible is not because the invisible is not there, but because in this dispensation we walk by faith and not by sight. Even the strongest Christian at times needs to pray, O Lord, give me that mountain, that Dothan, that I too may be able to see the invisible. The book of Hebrews says, Moses saw the invisible when he fled from the wrath of Pharaoh, seeing him who was invisible. Just how does one see the invisible God, whom no man has seen, no nor can see? Paul tells us how we can see the invisible when he tells the Romans, the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being perceived by the things that are made. A person may never have heard a sermon or a Bible school lesson, and yet they can easily see the invisible God by just looking up. As a psalmist said, the heavens declare his glory and the firmament his handiwork. However, even though we are aware of unseen angels sent forth to do service for the sake of them that shall inherit salvation, we must also be aware of the unseen demons that infest the air all around us. Paul tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against a spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. If you could open your spiritual eyes at this moment, you would see the form of a demonic serpent plotting your downfall. He may already have his coils wrapped around you, squeezing the spiritual life out of you, and you know it not. That prayer needs to be prayed. Lord, give me this mountain that I may see the invisible. Now here's another mountain that needs to be prayed for also. Lord, give me the mountain of the Lord's house, as found in Isaiah the prophet in the 2nd chapter. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. This is a prophecy of the establishment of the church. And Isaiah says, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. In the Great Commission, according to Luke, the Lord said as much. Thus it is written, and thus it behooved the Christ to suffer and rise again from the dead, and that repentance and remission of sins must be preached in his name, beginning from Jerusalem. It was at Jerusalem that the gospel was first proclaimed, and the remission of sins was preached. Peter, on that day, preached that Jesus had died on the cross and was raised from the dead, and then told them the pardon, the terms of pardon, when he said, repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The mountain of the Lord's house is established on the top of the mountain and shall be exalted above the hills. Mount Zion is only 2,540 feet high, yet it is spiritually exalted above the tallest mountain in the world, taller than the Alps, taller than the Andes, and even taller than the mountains of the Himalayas. The mountain of the Lord's house should have top priority in every item in the life of the Christian. The prayer of every modern-day Caleb who would preach the gospel should be, O Lord, give me this mountain of the Lord's house that is established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills. And now one more mountain the modern-day Caleb needs to pray about is Mount Pisgah. O Lord, give me this mountain. From the top of Mount Pisgah, Moses was able to see the promised land from one end to the other. From Mount Pisgah's lofty heights, Moses could see Mount Moriah, where the temple would be built. Perhaps he could see that tiny speck where there would be Mount Calvary, where the cross would stand, where our Savior died. Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt and through the wilderness for 40 years, but he was not allowed to lead them over into the promised land. He could see it, but he wasn't given the idea and the promise of going in. Moses and the law could lead the people up to the Jordan, but only Joshua could lead them across Jordan. The law can lead us through life only until death. Then our Joshua, the Lord Jesus Christ, will lead us across the river. O Lord, give me this mountain. Our Mount Pisgah as Christians today can be seen in the Word of God. Paul said in Colossians, set your affections on things that are above and not on the things of the earth. The only way a modern-day Caleb can ascend Mount Pisgah and view the heavenly Canaan is to spend much time each day reading the Word of God. Only with a familiarity with the road map to heaven can the Christian sing, "And from Mount Pisgah's lofty height, I view my home and take my flight." Most people can go to church services once a week for 100 years and not know much more about the Bible than when they started, if they haven't read it. Not until the modern-day Caleb spends more time on the Mount Pisgah of the Word of God will they be able to sing that gospel song that says, "On Jordan's stormy banks I stand, and cast a wistful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land, where my possessions lie. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. Oh, Lord, give me this mountain." Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God Is Just Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, B-O-U-S-M-A-N, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Until next week at the same time, don't forget to tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.